Welcome back, everyone, and thank you again for having me. I now have an audience of one. Pastor Roman is here to keep me company. I'm very grateful for your presence. But we also know that where two or three are gathered, God is with them, and so I'm very grateful for God to be here with us this morning. When I was asked to preach, I had my own ideas about what I should preach, but Pastor Roman said, no, we're doing a series on prayer. And I was more than happy to preach about prayer this morning. It's perhaps a little bit of a different sermon, and I want to start it with a story about myself and my wife. One day many years ago, my wife and I took a drive. Now, we lived in Queensland at the time. We'd just moved up there from Sydney. And my wife is a bit of a crafter and a quilter. She's one of the people that will make things. She'll sit there at night knitting or crocheting or sewing or painting. She's one of these incredible creative people. And so she said that she wanted to go to Spotlight. And I've learned that means that I'm in for a good hour or two at least in Spotlight when she says that. So I said, all right, we're going to go to Spotlight. It was the evening time, and so we drove off and we got to Spotlight, and my wife and I spent some time shopping, and that was enjoyable for her, and I'm grateful for it, but she always makes incredible things, so I don't complain when we go shopping together to Spotlight. We were in there probably a little longer than I had expected, and so when we came out of the shop and got into the car, it had grown dark, and we noticed straight away when we opened the car door that the interior light did not come on. I got in and I tried the ignition. I was nervous. I knew what it meant, and I tried the ignition, and sure enough, the battery was flat. The engine didn't start at all. I'd left the lights on while we were shopping. We were just at a loss. We had no idea what to do. We'd only just recently moved to Queensland. We lived in Sydney previously, so we had no friends in the area. We didn't know anyone. As I said earlier, neither of us are really going to church. We didn't have a community around us. We'd thought about going to a church, and it was tricky because I was Catholic and my wife was Adventist. And so as we sat there wondering what to do, I wondered if we should pray. Now, the next thing I knew, there was a knock on the window, and I looked, and there was a guy outside, and he was smiling and waving. He had his four-wheel drive truck pulled up next to ours, next to our car, and I went down the window and I said, what do you want? And he said, well, I wondered if you needed a jump start. And he had the jumper cables already in his hand and he'd pulled up ready to be able to give us a jump start. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was just like a miracle. I said, yes, please. And before I knew it, we were on the road and the battery was being charged by the alternator. We drove around for a while and everything was fine. That kind of thing never happens. So rare when someone just comes out of nowhere and gives you an unexpected kindness. Now, we'd thought about God and we wondered whether we should pray, but we hadn't prayed for this. It was an unasked prayer, but it was still an answer to prayer because it was our deepest need for this person to come along and save us. We needed a helper, and God had put him there before we even really knew that we needed him. So prayer, I guess, is what I want to talk a bit about today. And it's an endless topic to preach on because prayer in the Bible is so varied, but it's also very personal. Every person prays differently. And prayer means something different to each person. There are plenty of different kinds of prayer in the Bible. There's the formal congregational prayers that we see. We can see examples of prayers on behalf of a nation like Daniel's or Nehemiah's. And these prayers are important in their place. And we emulate those prayers in our church service. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our church. We pray for the world. And those prayers are important. But today I want to talk about a different kind of prayer. The kind of prayer that comes from deep inside. And what I've called it is a cry of the heart. A prayer when it is a cry of the heart. It's a very sensitive prayer. I don't hear people talk about this much. But a cry of the heart is the opening of our inner selves to God. It's the prayer that is so deep within us that we are perhaps uncertain about praying it. We may not even be able to put this prayer into words. Or perhaps it's a short prayer, but loud and strong, and we feel like shouting it to God. And we see these kinds of prayers in the Bible as well. But I wonder how often we pray these kinds of prayers, or even think they are valid prayers to be prayed. Let me start off with an example of a loud prayer, a loud cry to God in Mark 10. If you want to come with me to Mark 10, I'll be reading from verse 47 through to verse 50. So we're in Mark 10. And to set the scene, the beggar Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road in Jericho. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus is begging by the side of the road as a crowd passes through Jericho because they are on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. Now let me tell you, the day after this, the day after Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus will enter Jerusalem. There will be a fanning of palm leaves and he will be hailed as a king. 3 days after this shout out to Jesus, he and his disciples will be sitting in the house of Simon, eating a meal. 5 days after this event, Jesus and his disciples will be sitting in a room having a final meal with each other. And 6 days after Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus will be hanging on a cross outside the gates of Jerusalem. But for Bartimaeus's loud cry, for his shout, the king of the universe stops in the middle of the crowd. Why did he cry out? He heard that Jesus of Nazareth was near. He must have heard people talking about Jesus and the name Jesus of Nazareth. And he jumped up straight away and cried out the dearest wish of his heart, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, can you imagine yelling in front of a crowd, unsure if Jesus has even heard you? Bartimaeus must have heard about Jesus before. He heard that Jesus was the one healing blind people. And right here, right now, is his one chance to cry out to Jesus for mercy. Why is he calling out for mercy? Why isn't he calling out to be healed? Why isn't he calling out for his blindness to be removed? Well, he is. Because in those days, blind people were considered to be cursed by God. Remember in John 9, when Jesus and his disciples saw a blind man and his disciples asked him who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Bartimaeus is asking for mercy so that he's not blind any longer. He calls out the deepest desire of his heart in front of strangers. He confesses his faith and his deepest need. Why does he do it? How can he do it? Isn't it embarrassing to call out in front of people? Can you imagine calling out the deepest need of your heart in front of your church family? Can you imagine crying out for mercy for your sins in a loud voice of God in front of strangers? My daughter, who's 12, would say, "Awkward." It's not something that we do. But Bartimaeus does it. He does it because he knows this is his one chance to be heard and he isn't sure how close Jesus is to be able to hear him over the crowd. But he also cries out because this is the one thing that'll make a difference to his life, the one true desire of his heart. So he calls as loudly as he can with everything he has in him. And in the middle of that road to Jerusalem, Jesus stops for the cry of the heart. And he calls Bartimaeus to him, and he heals Bartimaeus so he can see, and Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the way. Friends, what's the loud cry of your heart? Is there a loud cry you haven't let out? Is there something bubbling inside you that just needs to be shouted out to God? Do you swallow it down and hold it inside out of fear of embarrassment or awkwardness? Don't hold back. We're in isolation. It's the perfect time. Your neighbours might hear you, but they won't mind. They'll be yelling as well. Bartimaeus expresses the truest desire that he has, what he really wants. And God listens. He's expressing authenticity in his prayer. He's being true. He's coming to God expecting also that God will be able to answer him and provide what he asks for. Bartimaeus knows that he can have mercy on him. He says, "You are the Son of David, you're the promised Messiah." When we cry out to God, do we know that he can answer our prayers? You know, my daughter only comes to me and asks me for things that she knows that I can give. She'll come and ask me for pocket money. She'll come and ask me to go out to get takeaway. But she doesn't ask for a car. She doesn't ask me to buy her the moon. She knows I can't give her those things. But when we pray, when Bartimaeus cries out, he's praying out to a God who can give anything, who will hear his prayer and will be able to answer the deepest desires of his heart. Bartimaeus is showing his sincerity and his authenticity. He doesn't care who sees it. But perhaps you're saying, "Pastor, that's just not me." And that's okay. Maybe you don't have that kind of prayer in you. Maybe you have a different prayer to offer, the silent prayer. We see an example of the silent prayer in 1 Samuel 1. Come with me there now, 1 Samuel 1. I'm going to read verses 6 through to 16. 1 Samuel 1, verse 6. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, Her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.' 'Not so, my Lord,' Hannah replied. 'I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.'" Hannah is in deep anguish. Her husband doesn't even understand the desire of her heart for a child. Can you imagine telling your wife that you're better than 10 sons? Hannah's prayer cannot be heard. She is praying the prayer that she cannot utter aloud. She is praying it before the Lord. The Lord hears the quietest prayer of the heart. He hears Hannah's prayer of anguish. And Hannah is weeping bitterly. When was the last time that we prayed while bitterly weeping. Can you see the emotion that Hannah is putting into her prayer? She is casting herself on the mercy of the Lord. We often pray so formally. We see many formal prayers in the Bible, and those are good prayers. But there are also these prayers where we weep bitterly. And again, is Hannah doing it at home alone, hidden away? No. She's at the house of the Lord, in public, in front of everyone, and she weeps bitterly while she prays. We often pray so formally and hold back the truth of how we feel to God. But God wants us to express the truth of how we feel, to weep bitterly with Him as we would with a dearest friend. She's pouring out her soul. What does that mean? That means she's bearing her inmost self. She's pouring it out. She's emptying herself of everything that is within her. She hasn't come to God with smooth words. She hasn't come to God with fitting sacrifice. She's come to God with nothing but herself, and she's pouring out everything that she has. She's revealing her inmost self to God. Too often, I fear that when we pray, we don't pour out our soul. We send a polite letter. And I've heard a preacher say that he wants to know who this person is that people pray to. Dear Heavenly Father, it's all in one word. Dear Heavenly Father. We go so quickly sometimes when we pray. You know, I came out of the Catholic Church, and I agree with what the Bible says. We shouldn't just pray from repetition or foolishly babble. But you know what? How often do we repeat the same phrases in our own prayers? God doesn't want those same phrases over and over and over again. He wants authenticity and sincerity. He wants us to pour out our soul when we pray. When we put up a barrier, when we pray a prayer that is just half-remembered catchphrases, we're putting a barrier between us and God. Better to not say those words at all. Because those barriers stop us from sharing ourselves with God. And that's what God wants, to be friends with us, to be in relation with us, to know us and to be known. God desires authenticity. Pouring out our soul means laying before God what we wouldn't even put before our spouse. Has Hannah shared this with Elkanah? Not the deepest desires like this. She hasn't wept bitterly. She saves that for God. She hasn't poured herself out. She saved it for God. There are some things that I cannot tell my spouse. God will listen. Hannah's malady of infertility also affected my wife and I. One in seven couples will be affected with infertility. And when we first discovered this, people in the church told us to pray. They said, pray like Hannah did and you'll be given a child. But we prayed and we weren't given a child. And years went by. First 1 year, then a second year and a third year. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we were anointed and prayed and prayed, and there was no answer. And so the feelings within us turned into Hannah's feelings. That bitterness that could only come out by weeping was in us as well. Every time a friend of ours would get pregnant, we would smile, but it hurt us. Every time that we got to a Mother's Day or a Father's Day, there was a special church service for it, it would cause us deep pain. And still does to some degree, even though now we have a child. That kind of bitterness, that weeping, that hurt that you don't speak to anyone, God wants you to offer that up as a prayer. Maybe there's something in your life that is wedged into your heart like a canker, like a sore, like something pus-ridden. You don't even want to speak it aloud. You don't have to. Because there's another kind of prayer that we see in the Bible, which is for those who do not even know what words to use and what to pray, the deepest attitude of the heart. Because there are times when we want to pray, but all of our fancy words are gone. There's a time when we want to pray, but all of the Bible verses that we like to put in our prayers don't come to mind. There's a time when we want to be in touch with God, but we realize no words that we say will trick him into giving us what we want. This is not what prayer is. God is totally wanting to see the midst of us. God wants us to be real with him and authentic with him. He wants us to open ourselves to him and pour out those deepest, bitterest feelings, and he will take them as a prayer and bring healing. Even if you don't know the words, even if you don't know what to say, have a look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 4. Says, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. We can't trick God by intoning beautiful phrases. We can't overcome anything that we lack through our own clever words. We have to rely on God for our prayer. We have to come to God in prayer, utterly broken and needing him more than anything. Because the Lord already knows what we would say before it is even on our lips. Listen to how David describes this experience that I'm talking about in Psalm 38. Have a look at Psalm 38, and I'm going to read verses 5 through to 9 of Psalm 38. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. Our hearts are laid open to God, friends. We can't hide things from him. He knows. When we pray without words, he knows our inner turmoil. He knows our inner longings, our heart's longings, our sighs of anguish. And friends, I want to encourage you, these two can be given to God in prayer and he will understand us. How do I know this? Because of what Romans 8 tells us. Romans 8 in verse 26 and 27, you know these verses well. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When you don't have the words, when all you've got is groaning and weeping bitterly, the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. When you don't know the words to say or even what to pray for, the Holy Spirit will search you out and intercede on your behalf with God according to his will. And I don't know if you've had those nights when you lay awake at 4 o'clock in the morning and you don't know the words. You've run out of prayer words. You've used all the phrases that you know for prayers, and all you've got left is this longing, this pain perhaps a desire. Friends, give that to God as a prayer. He hears you, and the Holy Spirit will intercede for you at that time. And he will take that prayer. He will take that burden. You can give it to him as a prayer, and he will listen. So that's what I'm talking about when I say prayer as a cry of the heart. It is a recognition of our uttermost need of God. Look, in closing, I want to just share a little bit more about that story of the flat battery, because there is a follow-up. My wife and I started searching for a church to try, and she convinced me to come to a Seventh-day Adventist church against my better judgment. I was nervous about going, But eventually we walked into the Eden's Landing Seventh-day Adventist Church in Queensland. And who do you think was sitting in that church the day we attended? It was the same man who had jump-started our car. I recognised him instantly. And he came over and introduced himself. His name was Ruben Olszewski. He's my friend. And my wife and I had prayed that day for help in the car, but we hadn't said it in words because God knew what we needed. God knew the uttermost need of our hearts. And God not only answered the prayer for our car, but he also answered the unspoken prayer, the cry of our hearts to find him. And he answered that prayer before we even prayed it. So friends, don't be afraid of the prayer that comes from deep within your heart. If you have that silent prayer within you, or you have a loud cry, or if you can't even find the words, the Holy Spirit knows our needs. And he will intercede for us. And God will listen and even perhaps answer that prayer.